Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, The Killing of the Demon Putana, text number 22-23. Avya rajangari mani mani mam stava jan vatora. Yagyo chuta katit katam chataram hayasya. Ritkesha vastavaruru isha inastakata kandam. Vishnur bhujam ukam urur krama ishvarakam. I read the word-for-word translation, but it's the same as the translation, so I'll just read the translation. Shukadeva Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that the gopis, following the proper system, protected Krishna, their child, with this mantra. May Aja protect your legs. May Mahiman protect your knees. Yagya, your thighs. Achuta, the upper part of your waist. And Harigriva, your abdomen. May Keshava protect your heart. Isha, your chest. The sun god, your neck. Vishnu, your arms. Arukrama, your face. And Ishvara, your head. May Chakri protect you from the front. May Srihari, Gadadhari, the carrier of the club, protect you from the back. May the carrier of the bow, who is known as the enemy of Madhu, and Lord Ajana, the carrier of the sword, protect your two sides. May Lord Urugaya, the carrier of the conch shell, protect you from all corners. May Pendra protect you from above. May Garuda protect you on the ground. And may Lord Haladara, the Supreme Person, protect you from all sides. Sounds like pretty well covered. No one's going to sneak in and get you. Purport. Even in the houses of the cultivators, who are not very advanced in modern ways of civilization, the ladies used to know how to chant mantras to protection to children with the help of cow dung and cow urine. This was a simple and practical way to give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. People should know how to do this, but this is a part of Vedic civilization. So the ladies are going to practice this. And it goes on. Translation, may Rishikesh, it's not enough so far. That you need more protection. There's some more protection. In case you're nervous. There's something left out. May Rishikesh protect your senses and Lord Narayan, your life air. May the master of the Swetadvi protect the core of your heart. And may Lord Yogeshwar protect your mind. May Prishnagarbha protect your intelligence and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your soul. While you're playing, may Govinda protect you. And while you're sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are walking. And may Lord Narayan, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, protect you while you're sitting. So hopefully we're getting some protection from Narayan right now. Similarly, my Lord Yagya Bhuk, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. Well, that's not very often. Anyhow, he's to throw that in. The evil witches, known as Dakinis, Yatudanis, and Kushmandas, are the greatest enemies of children. And the evil spirits like Bhutas, Pretas, Pisachas, Yakshas, Rakshashas, and Vinyanakas, as well as witches like Katara, Revati, Jesta, Putana, and Matrika, are always ready to give children to the body, the life air, and the senses, causing loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, They all create great disturbances, especially for children. But one can banish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. So does anyone have any experiences in childhood of having bad dreams or ghosts attacking one? Yes? Do you have an experience like that? No problems in childhood? Okay, good. Does anyone know if it was a Kotara, a Revati, a Jesta, a Putana, or a Matrika who was attacking us? There's a lot of them. Putana is only one of them. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, 5:33, Advaita Machuta Manadi Manantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Duralabha Madurlabha Matma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Vajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is the original person, non-dual, infallible, and without beginning. Although he expands into unlimited forms, he is still the original, and although he is the oldest person, he always appears as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, and all-knowing forms of the Lord cannot be understood by the academic wisdom of the Vedas, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. While decorating the body with tilak, we give protection to the body by chanting 12 names of Vishnu. Although Govinda, our Lord Vishnu, is one, he has different names and forms with which to act differently. But if one cannot remember all the names at once, one can simply chant, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, and always think of Vishnu. So if you can't remember the names of tilak, just go Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. And you're covered. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. This is the highest form of worship. If one remembers Vishnu always, even though one is disturbed by many bad elements, one can be protected without a doubt. The Ayurvedic Shastra recommends Asaudi Chintayat Vishnu. Even while taking medicine, one should remember Vishnu, because medicine is not all in all, and Lord Vishnu is the real protector. The material world is full of danger, padam padam yadvipadam. Therefore, one must become a Vaishnav and think of Vishnu constantly. This is made easier by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Kirtaniyak Siddhahari, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, and Kirtaniyak Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat. One question may be, there is a, what kind of protection do we get by chanting the name of Vishnu or Krishna? After all, most of us put on tilak every day, and still we have problems. Do we have the wrong kind of tilak? Is there a special tilak you have to put on, or is perhaps we're not chanting the names properly, we have to chant them? So what is the protection? So there are many explanations of protection in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Udharat Atmanatmanam, Atmanam Avasarya, Atmaiva Yatmano Bandur, Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha. Then a man has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself, that the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For when it has conquered the mind, the super... Udharat Atmanatmanam, Atmanam Avasarya, Atmaiva Atmano Bandur, Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha, Ripur Atmanaha. Atmatmanatmanastasya te yayivatmanatmanat jita anatmanastu shatvudve Vartetatvaiva Shatruvaiva. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. For one who has conquered the mind, the super illusory reach, he has attained tranquility. In such a state, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So actual protection is when we're in the spiritual platform of consciousness. Otherwise, whatever state of being we're in, we're suffering to one degree or another. Sometimes when it gets very intense, we say we're suffering, and when it's less intense, then we say we're all right. Like if we had a toothache right now, and we were in great pain, we'd say we're in pain. And if only I could cure my toothache, I could be happy. But right now, most of us probably don't have a toothache, I hope. But we're not jumping up and down out of ecstasy that I don't have a toothache, I'm so happy. We don't even notice it. What we do notice in anything that goes wrong, we notice it quite clearly. So in the material world, everyone is trying to avoid problems and try to put them in a state where there's less problems. That's called happiness. For instance, yesterday was a half-day fast or so. That was a problem in the morning. But after taking prasadam, it wasn't a problem until the evening when we probably ate too much. That was a problem too. So we're going from one problem and temporarily solving it to another problem. And sometimes we go to an astrologer and we ask, what's my next problem? Do you have a solution for my problems from 20 years from now? But the actual problem is that we're not Krishna conscious. Because if we were Krishna conscious, then we'd see that we don't actually have any problems. It's our body and our minds that have problems. But the soul has no problem. And we're actually not the body and we're not the mind. We're transcendental to them. But because we're not, our consciousness is focused on the material energy, therefore we're experiencing all the problems that our body is going through. And we identify with them, and therefore we actually think we have a problem. So that's our problem. That's our only problem. But we can't solve that problem unless we become Krishna conscious, unless we become conscious of Krishna. And that means as our consciousness of Krishna goes up, then our consciousness in the material world goes down. And as our consciousness in the material world goes up, then the consciousness of Krishna goes down. In the Vedic culture and the Vedic civilization, things were quite simple. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. Abominable. How could people live without Facebook? There was no electricity. Could you imagine a world without electricity? There was no cars. There was no computers. There was no internet. People actually walked around sometimes. Could you imagine how barbaric it was, the civilization? People used to walk. So we can't imagine that because we can't imagine what were they doing? And here we find out what they were doing. Prishni Garva Tute Budim. They're chanting the names of Vishnu. So who's going to exchange their computer for the names of Vishnu here? I'm going to write you out the names of Vishnu. All I need is your Apple computer that you just bought. Oh, fair trade, of course. No worries. I'll give you have another computer here. You can have that too. But if one's consciousness is actually pure, then when one chants these names, he's in ecstasy. He's actually in the spiritual platform of consciousness. And as Krishna says, gaining this, one thinks that there's no greater gain. But as long as our consciousness is covered by all these conceptions, all these things we need to be happy, to be secure, then of course it's very difficult to chant the holy name with any kind of feeling. As Queen Kunti said, Vipadak Tatrasvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yasat Apana Bhavadarshanam. I wish that we can see these calamities again and again, so we can see you again and again, so there will be no more seeing a repeated birth and death. In other words, the Pandavas were the rulers of the whole planet, much bigger than this little planet that we conceive of now. And yet they were put into so many difficulties. Generally speaking, we think, well, if someone gave me a kingdom, I'd be quite happy. Probably get a nice room. Put in my own internet in the room. Because there was no internet. But they got a nice room. They had servants. They had the best prasadam. That's the most important thing. They had no shortage of ghee. All the vegetables were all organic. There were no pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, or anything like that. Everything was fresh, right out of the garden, prepared by the most excellent cooks who knew how to mix all the spices because their grandmothers taught them. Everything was perfectly, the air was fresh, the water was pure. People were actually nice to each other. Could you imagine a civilization? You pick up the newspaper, you find out how people were just embracing each other. Sometimes there were wars, but those were exciting. Those were only fought by the Kshatriyas. Everyone else stayed out of the conflict. And the Kshatriyas, they understood that they were actually going to be benefited by the war. And in such a state, people's minds were quite naturally peaceful. And when they heard about Krishna, they'd actually thought about Krishna. There was nothing else to think about. That's all they heard about from their childhood. Therefore, they understood. They, when they heard the word Krishna, and they remembered Krishna, and Krishna was standing there right before them, and they were completely in ecstasy in their loving relationship with Krishna, then they didn't really think they needed anything else, because Krishna is unimaginably beautiful, and his affection is unlimited for his devotees. Therefore, there is no need of love affairs, because there is an eternal love affair going on with Krishna that only increased at every moment. But in this present society, people are devoid of Krishna consciousness, and therefore they're running around seeking all kinds of protection from all kinds of things, all kinds of trying to squeeze happiness out of all kinds of things, and ultimately winding up frustrated because they're not actually getting what's being promised. Modern civilization is simply expert at promising happiness and very poor at delivering it. Now, of course, we're chanting these names and we think, my God, I can't. How many of us are so excited about hearing this, we're going to sit down and remember it? And we have a child, every day we're going to go, Dakshini, Prishnigarbha, Urukram, Keshava, Narayana, and spend half an hour chanting the names. But in the Vedic civilization, they had nothing else to do. They weren't distracted. Oh, it's a half an hour. I got a chance to sing for half an hour. What about my lunch break? What about my seminar on the internet? No, the ladies were actually appreciated for taking care of children. It was actually valued. Not that, what are you wasting your time with that little kid? Why don't you just throw him into the nursery and get a job, do something important? No, people were actually valuing the children. They were valuing each other. They valued consciousness. They valued whether people were happy or that whether they were distressed. Nowadays, if people don't care, just get the job done. It doesn't matter if you kill yourself doing it. You're not important. It's the job that's important. Build that robot. And in the future, when we make advancement, we make you into a robot too. But that was, this is simply demoniac civilization, killing the very spirit of the soul, trying to turn the soul into something material, which isn't impossible. But if you dull the consciousness enough, in the mode of ignorance, people become unaware of the fact that they're suffering. They're so intoxicated by material experience that they're not even aware of their suffering anymore. So the point is that, of course, when people hear this 10th canto, the gopis are chanting these names, they may not appreciate it. We may not appreciate it either, because we're so caught up in doing other things. And even we have one name to chant, or three names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may not believe in these names, that there's any higher experience than what I'm experiencing at the present time by chanting them. We may think that this is all that there is to it, whatever I'm experiencing. And that all these acharyas, Rupa Goswami, when he says, if I had millions of tongues and millions of ears, if I could only, then I'd be actually happy chanting the holy name. Because when the holy name enters into the heart, then all the senses become inert, and one experiences unlimited happiness. So even with our one tongue, we think it's too much to chant the holy name. The purport is we have to dovetail ourselves in Krishna's service, just like Mother Yasoda was constantly engaged, and all the gopis constantly engaged in Krishna's service, trying to protect Krishna. So Krishna has advented himself in the Hare Krishna movement. And this movement is actually the manifestation of Krishna. And as we can see, the entire material universe, practically speaking, wants to kill Krishna. How many times do you read in the newspaper in Slovenia here how wonderful the Hare Krishna movement is, going out and chanting the holy name, how they're doing such valuable service, distributing this literature and chanting. If you go to the parliament here and ask for a donation so we can get another Sankirtan vehicle and chant more. How many will write into how many politicians will support writing into that into the budget for the Hare Krishna movement? No, they think we're a waste of time. We're wasting everyone's time. You know, we're crazy people going out there singing the same names all the time because we only our memory only is good enough to remember three names. But at least we're crazy enough to attract the tourists. Adding a little color to the downtown Ljubljana. Kind of like letting the animals out of the zoo. So people can't understand, hardly we can understand. But somehow or another, due to one's past good deeds, mechanically at least, we're out there hoping against hope that maybe this is going to make a difference in my life. Because the whole material universe has been conditioned, every living entity in this universe, to actually believe that there's actually happiness in material existence. It can be found somehow or another. Nowadays, it's by scientific advancement. And scientific advancement is specifically meant to take away everyone's intelligence. To actually believe we're advancing when we're actually going the opposite way. That's the power of illusion. They believe that the food is becoming more healthy the more they spray it with poison. That the air is not, fresh air is not good for you. It's air full of poison that actually when you breathe it, it kind of gives you extra chemicals. And people's minds of conscience, if you read enough propaganda, then people actually, some people, or at least apparently most people, they actually think that this is all right. Of course, here in Slovenia, after some time, they reach a point where people think that this is ridiculous. And then they protest, and then they stop until people, they wait a few months or half a year. People forget, and then they do the same thing over again. And people don't have enough memory. They accuse us of only having chanting three names. But they can't remember either. That they got fooled 6 months ago, and now they're being fooled again. So at least we can remember these three names. They can't remember anything. They can't remember what happened 6 months ago. The conclusion is we have to take shelter. If we can't take shelter of these names mentioned here, at least we should take shelter of the names that are available to us, that we can remember. And if you can't remember anything, just say Vishnu. Hey Vishnu, hey Krishna. And that will protect us also. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Yesterday in the lecture, when you mentioned about when Krishna saved Sanatana Muni's son from the head of Shikandis. So I'm just wondering
how that was Madhumangala, right? That's what I heard, is Madhumangala. Tandipani Muni had a son who was a Brahmin, Krishna's friend, Madhumangala.
So I'm just thinking about it, how is it possible that he could
go to Hellish Planets when
he's constantly, you know, with Krishna and that's
his
the son of his guru?
I don't know. Maybe it was a Madhumangala. But that's what I heard. Sanipani Muni's son, because Sanipani Muni was living in Avantipur. Is that Avantipur?
That was Ujjain.
Ujjain. And Krishna was in Vrindavan, they're not exactly next door. Anyhow, maybe it was Madhumangala. I'll have to look it up again.
I mean, I also read about this in Krishna book, I think, that Krishna actually went to deliver one of the sons of his spiritual master from hellish planet.
Yeah, I mean, that's in the Krishna book. But the son of his teacher supposedly went to the ocean and then there was a conch shell who swallowed him. Krishna went down and killed the conch shell. That's where he got his conch shell from, supposedly. And then later on, his Sanipani Muni asked him, his wife asked him to bring back their child. He went to Yamaraj and brought it back from Yamaraj. But I don't know. It seems strange that Madhumangala, who's Krishna's eternal servant, had gone to Yamaraj. But I don't know all the story. So I really don't know. Interesting. Maybe you can look it up.
I was thinking about this. How is it possible that because Madhumangala is Krishna's friend and they are...
Well, even if they go to to Yamaraj and obviously, he's not there in hell, He's there as an associate with Yamaraj. These are pastimes and internal energies, so it's hard. I guess we can look at the Acharya's commentaries, maybe they explain more about it. Because sometimes the Acharya's explain about it. Anything else?
I was reading yesterday about this Rath Yatra card. Where Prabhupada said that if somebody voluntarily accepts the death and comes under the Rath Yatra, then if he remembers Krishna, then he goes back to Godhead. But then I was thinking that this is kind of a suicide, and which is sinful.
I wouldn't take the chance. There's no easy way of going back to God. Besides that, when the chariot, whatever the actual injunction is, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajanti antikaleram tam tam evaiti kondiya sadatad bhava bhavita, whatever one remembers at the time of death, one attains that position. So maybe if a great devotee like Sanatana Goswami got run over by a chariot, he wouldn't complain, he would just meditate on Jagannath, his mercy. If we got run over by a chariot, probably when the chariot hits us, we start cursing. I made a mistake, wait a second, back up. I didn't mean this hurts. So we shouldn't, only a great devotee could probably go back to God and getting run over by a chariot and think about Krishna at the same time. It's like jumping off Govardhan Hill. You have to be, at that time, you have to be a great devotee to be able to remember Krishna on the way down. Like Prahlad Maharaj. So we have a hard enough time remembering Krishna sitting here and chanting Hare Krishna. What to speak when we're in some difficulty like that. Anything else? Hala Grantara Shimad Bhagavatam Kijai.